No, it's okay.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam. Hilcha Shechita, Per Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, Chapter 3, Law 13. We just started Law 13, and I told you it's a bit of a complicated law, so we'll start again at the beginning of 13. We've dealt with 4 out of the 5 issues that will render a Shechita not kosher. We started with Shehia. Shehia was if you pause in the middle of the Shechita. Then there was let's see, get the order over here. That was the one. And then we had Chalada where the knife was hidden from view as you're doing the Shechita. And then there was Drasa, where the knife is coming down in a chopping motion, a pressing motion, as opposed to a sliding motion. And then we've just finished Hagrama. Hagrama is you're shefting it a little bit too high on the in the trachea area, and then you try, and then it wrecks up the shechita. So before we come to the fifth and final one, we got to go to Halacha Yud Gimel, which will end off with Hagrama issues, and then combine some other issues. And you'll see it's a very problematic Rambam. It's good to come with a fresh head into this as opposed to the end of the half an hour. So he says like this, we're still with Hagrama, where you shechted higher, too high in the trachea area. Shechet rov ha'echad, let's say you shechted most of one simen, that'll be needed if it was with a bird, only it's one simen. Or rov ha'shnaim, you shechted a majority of both simonim for an animal, okay, and it was a correct shechita. But vihishlim ha'shechita, but you finished the shechita with any one of our problems here, with bidrasa, with chopping it down, or b'hagrama, or you go back too high on it. Harezuk sher, it's a kosher shechita, which is why, sherei nishchad ashir koroi, because already said, you've shechted enough to make it kosher to begin with, and what happens afterwards is inconsequential, and that was a similar day he mentioned earlier, as we learned it by Shehiya. So now he's saying it now by Hagrama, and he's saying it by Drasa. He's saying this. Now there's a discussion. Why didn't he say it by Chalada? It's all discussion in the post about that, but we're not going to go there right now. Anyway, it's okay. It's Ksher, Ksher, Ksher.
It's finished.
It's finished. Ashir, shelter properly. Okay, now we're going to pay close attention to the next few lines, where the next lines will be okay, but the ones afterwards are going to seem to contradict what the Rambam is just going to say in these next two lines. You have to pay good attention. Higrim batchila shlish. Let's say the first third of the shechita was with Hagrama. You shechted it too high on the trachea. The first third. But then, v'shachat shnei shlishim, but then you came back down south and shechted the next two thirds of the trachea in the right spot.
Shira.
Harei zuk shera, that's a good shechita, because at the end of the day, he shechted the majority in a proper place of a shechita.
So it's exactly the same as the previous
only by the kana, only by the trachea.
Right.
We would not say this by the esophagus, we already said, it would make it puzzle immediately.
Right.
Alright, that halacha, we got no problem with this. And the next one also, we're going to have no problem. What about shachat shlish? You did a third, the first third was proper shechita in the right spot. Then you went up north. Vehigrim shlish. Then you did the next third was too high on the trachea. And then v'chazer v'shachat shlisha achram. And they went back for the next third and shechted in the right place.
Kshera,
it's a kosher shechita because you don't need the majority in one time. That's the chiddush. Since at the end of the day you have a majority,
it doesn't have to be
and that last third is in the same area of the rings where the first third was, so you have ultimately shechted a majority of the trachea in the one column over there, even though you didn't pause in what you did, so you went like this, that, whatever. So at the end of the day, two thirds of the simen is cut in the right place, in the right spot, with an interruption of the one third, but you weren't stopping in
don't
your shechita, so you're okay with that, and that's also all right. Okay, now, so it comes out.
I think about, but you don't take the question at this point.
Well, let's just hold on for a minute. It's pretty straightforward right now. So if the first third was bad, but the second two thirds are good, it's kosher. If it's a third kosher, good, a third bad, and a third good, it's kosher, because ultimately you have a majority. Now what if he grim shlish, what if you started too high on the first third? Fishachat shlish, the next third was good. But then then you did bad on the next third. That's no good because you don't have a rove of a kosher shechita at all. This is all clear halachas. There's nothing to ask on. But of course, Paul will have a question. So go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, with two-thirds cut, can the animal survive?
No, it's the majority. The majority of the trachea has been shechted.
No, I'm saying you cut the first in the right place, the second third in the wrong place.
It could survive.
Only one third of the trachea left?
No, because you went too high. You started here, you went too high. So that's already not part of the place of shechita now. So the animal will still live. It's not a trefa.
It's not a trefa. After two-thirds cut.
No. It's not in the right spot. Okay, this all makes sense. It's all pretty logical. The next line makes no sense. And this is where the problem begins. Now, this is what we said about hagrama, going too high, right? So now he's going to say a similar thing with the other two problems. What if im doras o hechlid? What if you did drasa, that was chopping, or hechlid, it was hidden, the following. If you did these two things, bein bishlisha rishon, whether it was in the first third, you did it that way, which implies, but the next two thirds were okay. Bein b'shlisha emtsai, or if you did the drasa or the chalara with the middle third, implying if the first third was okay and the second third was okay. In other words, there was only one third of the bad shchita of drasa and chalara. Look what he says: harezu psula. It's not a good shechita. Hmm. And all the achronim have lots of, they cannot figure out this Rambam. That is exactly, compared to hagrama, that's exactly should be kosher, because it's bedavka those two that the Rambam says are kosher. Because all you have is either the first third. If you have the same thing by hagrama, just the first third or the middle third and everything else is fine, it would be okay. So this Rambam is really problematic. So then some try to give answers, and the Shach says all these answers are very dofik answers, and this is the Shach's answer that he will suggest, and he will suggest that this last line has to be read in conjunction to connect it to the line before, to what's been going on before.
Okay.
In other words, on top of this third of drasa and chalada, goes on top of, there's already a previously existing third of hagrama, where there is already one third where you went too high. In other words, the last clause is, and if you did a third too high, and in addition to the third too high, you have a third with drasa or chalada, regardless of if it's the first part was bad, and then the second part was hagrama, and the third part was a good shechita. Or if it was the first part was hagrama, and now the middle part was drasa chalada, and then the last part was a good shechita. That's what he's saying. You can add the different types of problems, and then that's what he means to say it's possible. And that's how he learns it.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, the Shach himself says, he says he feels even that's a dochek pshat, but he doesn't have anything else to explain. There's no other way to explain the Rambam. Yeah.
Maybe I could have asked this 7 years ago. Possible the Rambam made a mistake? Is that out of the
Rambam point? Cannot make a mistake. That's it. He wouldn't make such a... How could he make such a strip, a big mistake from one line to the next line? It's not possible. It's not possible.
Could we say that these two, we don't really know why? You can't logic out why Hashem doesn't want us to do that. The wrong place seems logical. It's not in the right place. But hiding the knife, we said, we don't really understand.
But by one-third, it should make a difference, because it doesn't affect the shechit in a negative way. If only the first third was done that way, there's no reason to make it possible. No reason to make it possible.
Unless any of the shechting is done in a prohibited way by these two, for whatever reason, the same reason.
No, it wouldn't. There's no reason to say that. There's no reason to say that.
Okay.
And we've already seen other examples where it's not so. It's not so. So therefore, that's the only explanation he has. All right. Now we move on to Yud Dalet, the fifth and final one.
But in those other cases, would they have been able to tell? I mean,
we're just saying if we could tell that that's what happened, okay. You have to be able to know. Well, you could check. When you check, you could see where the animal was cut. When you check, you'll see where the cut took place. You see where the tuck took place. You see, oh, it went too high. It went too high for part of it. We're able to determine that's what happened. Okay, the next one is a difficult one to understand exactly the concept here, and I've been struggling with it. The fifth and final psul is called ikor. Ikor literally means to uproot, to take it out of its spot. So Kate said, what is that? Kigon, shenekra hargargeris, when the gargaris is displaced. Now what is the gargaris? Vihi hakone o haveshet. Either one of the esophagus or the trachea, it's been displaced. In other words, it's sort of dangling. Now it means so somehow it's been separated from something within the animal, and the commentaries, you know, it's not so easy because somehow it has to be separate in a way that it doesn't make it a trepha yet at this point. Now, you know, normally it's very taut, sort of the esophagus and the trachea connecting to somewhere in the jaw area, you know, the mouth area, all the way down to the stomach or down to the lungs. So it's one long and it's like it's what do you call it taut, you know. It's
not, tension. There's a tension.
There's a tension. There's a tension there. So there's a tension there. So guess what? When a knife slides by with this tension,
right,
it cuts like butter. Right now, here we're speaking. Here we're saying where it's been displaced, where these things have been moved out of their place, and it will lack the tension. Mm-hmm. That's required to check. Now, it has to be done in a way that it's still, the animal could still live. Okay. So maybe it's dangling or whatever. It could be part of it is severed. So it loses that tension over there. So that creates a problem with the shechita. Okay. So the nishmarechman, one of them has kind of slid out of its tension filled position. Either one of them, or shneim, or both of them, kodim gemar shechita, before you finish the shechita. Then the assumption is the shechita, you know, either way, it cannot be shechted properly. At this point, that the even if you're going to shecht it, it's not going to be going.
Well, there's a pause
the way,
now that you've paused also.
Well, however it's going to be, it's not going to be that good when it's nice and got tension, right. And just cut, wow, it just immediately breaks like that. Once you don't have that tension, the whole shechita isn't going to work properly. So anyway, so it's not so much an act. This is different than the other four. The other four, there is really a problem with the way you shechted it. It's a problem with what you did with your knife. Here, it's not technically a problem what you did with your knife. It's rather what the knife can do based on the situation it's faced with.
Is this how you found the animal when you began the shechting?
Well, it could be when you found it, or you, we'll see. We'll see. You'd have to know that that's what's going on. We'll have to see. We just read the first line. We've got three halachas on this. But if that is the reality, if one of them has slid out of place, or shneim, or both of them, kodem gemar shechita, before you finish the shechita, before that happened, then that's a psul. It's not a good shechita. Aval im shachar echad both. Let's say you shechted one simen of the oath. That's all
kosher.
You need. Or ruba, or the majority. But vi acher kach nishpar hasimen hasheni. And then afterwards, maybe when you're checking it afterwards, the second one moves out of its place. Then that's okay. Because once you shechted it kosher, we don't care what happens. Just like the other things. If the psul happens afterwards, we don't care. If the shechita, everything was in place before you shechted it. And even though you only shechted one simen, but all you need is one simen for a bird, and then it moves out of place, doesn't matter. Because once that one has been shechted, we don't care what happens afterwards. Now this halacha goes even further. What if nishmar echad? Let's say one has been displaced, but guess what? You're not going to shech that one. But you shech the other one that still has the tension there. Still shchitaso psula.
Is this for a bird or an animal?
Well, obviously for a bird, because for an animal it would be out of business to begin with.
Right.
So even for a bird, let's say, because before the shechita went out, even though you only have to shecht one, but they have to both be a possible for you to shecht it with the tension. That's what has to happen. All right, so that's also psul. What if shachet echad mehem? So let's say you shechted one, and you know that that one was seemed to be fine. Then when you check it later, the nimtza sheni shalmi. You see, the other one that you didn't shecht was displaced. Then you do it. Now we don't know. You don't know if it got displaced before or after the shechita. Suffik. So that's how good it is. Harezu suffik nevela. We have to treat it like a suffik nevela, and you can't eat it. Now, but now let's say a different one. What if you didn't see any problem with the animal, and now you shechted it, and now you're checking the simonim after you shechted it? Now the simon that you shechted, now you find afterwards has been displaced. Harezuk shera. We say it's a kosher shechita. Why? Shevare after shechita nekar. It has to be that it got uprooted after the shechita, because it was before, and you wouldn't get such a good shechita. If you wouldn't have that tension, you would have had a messed up shechita. When you check, you'll see it didn't even cut through the siman, because it's dangling. It doesn't have the tension. The cut won't work. It's like you're trying to cut something that's giving you no resistance, and it's no way that... And if it is indeed cut and dislodged, the only thing we can say is it dislodged itself after it was cut, but not before. If it was dislodged before, you couldn't make such a good shechita. Okay? So it certainly had to happen afterwards. Shiluneker kodem shechita, because if it would have been uprooted from a spot before the shechita, hay misal would dangle, v'nishkat, and you couldn't shecht it properly. Question?
Do you know, practically speaking, if this results in treif, like when they contemporary shechita, does this actually...
It could happen. I mean, why couldn't it happen?
You always check the simmons afterwards.
You have to check that, and you might see that it's dangling. It's not going. Now, one last qualification, Yitzayin. B'med v'armer murmur, when are we going to say this halacha that we assume that if you shecht it and you find it's dangling, it had to come after the shechita? That's only shelo tafas ha-siman b'yad k'shechet. It's when you weren't grabbing the simonim as you shechted. If you're grabbing onto the throat, you could maybe create the tension even though it was dangling. So he said, only if you didn't grab it, we'll assume it was a good shechita. What if you grabbed it, which you could, would have caused the tension even if it was displaced? Then after the shechita, it's possible to shecht it properly after it's been moved from its place. The figure comes out in Ninsa Shmuta Shmuta. If you find it's been displaced and shechted, but you were holding on to it, you don't know when it happened, therefore we can't eat it. Okay, we're done with the five. Now the Rambam decides at this point in the game, just give you a general rule of thumb. You know, one of these nice Rambams that you wonder why I didn't say this in the beginning. It just gives a nice rule of thumb. Yudches, and really it has nothing to do with the flow of what we're learning, but it's not, you know, I'm sure the Rambam knew why he put it in there, and we just are not smart enough to understand this. Whenever I say that a shechita is psula, you should translate it to mean harezo nevela. It means it's a nevela and has all the halachas of a nevela. And if you still will maintain that you want to eat a ksais of that, loke, you will be lashed biblically, because you're eating nevela.
Assuming you got hashkah.
Shein motzi meat in nevela shechita ksher. Because remember, the only way an animal, even if it's alive, if you want to eat something, we assume that an animal who is alive and who then dies will become a nevela unless there's a chacher shechita. A living animal that then dies is an nevela unless you know it died because it was a kosher shechita. So there's a doubt the shechita was kosher. We're left with going back to the standard position of nevela. So she'ein motzi midei tvela ela shechita k'shera k'sher tziva moshe l'asham, because something doesn't go out of the state of nevela unless you have a 100% kosher shechita the way Moshe told us to do it. K'moshe, we explain. And therefore, we call suffer shechita. Any suffek that's in the shechita process is really a suffek of us removing the issue of nevela. So, harezu sfek nevela, it's a suffek nevela. Someone who eats from this will get rabbinic lashes because of a doubtful situation. Okay, your test. I have to be honest. I don't exactly clearly have the picture in my mind. So we'll just have to go with it. Oh, the first part of your test, at least. Now we're going to discuss different situations which makes the animal not able to live the year, and therefore no kind of shechita would work for such an animal. So, be'ema shenitel yorech shalah, if the animal's thigh is removed, and the part of the thigh that includes v'chalola imo, and the hollow part of the thigh, meaning the part that's got meat in the hollow part of the thigh, that's all been removed from the animal.
Before he died?
Before you shechted it. Before it died. It's alive, whatever. It's a handicapped animal. And then you shechted it properly. And how does this look? Achetero chasera keshet tirbats. It looks like you can really tell that it's missing something when it crouches down. When it crouches down, usually when an animal crouches down, he crouches on his thighs, it covers up the thigh when he crouches down. And here, because it's missing it, you can really tell that something's missing as it crouches down. Harei nevela, it's going to be nevela. Once you shech this animal, it's going to be considered like a nevela. And it's just as like, even though you didn't do this, but it's as if the animal was cut in half and there's two halves to the animal. That's how not kosher it is. And shechita will not help this animal. Now, I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand why he's calling it an avela here. Why didn't he call it a trefa? But maybe, you know, doesn't really matter. But now that you've shechted it, this is not a shechita. When you're shechting a trefa, it ultimately becomes an avela.
It's considered as if it has died already.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So because it can't live out the year.
Yeah.
So even though you shechted it, and it had a trephis to it, but still we're going to call it a nevela. And now he discusses other malfunctions within the animal. If the backbone, the spine, with a majority of the flesh around the spine, it all breaks, or it's all going to be a trephis. Its back got ripped out like a fish. I don't know anything about fish in this area, but that's what it's like. Or most of the trachea was severed. Well, that we know. The esophagus, a little bit of a nick that penetrates. In the area where the shechita is kosher, the area where the tzitzis get shechted, these are problems. All these cases are considered harezu nevela mechaim. It's considered nevela even though while it's alive. Shechita will not help this animal. This is a regular animal or a bird. All these things, it has the same halacha.
So does that imply that if the gullet was perforated in a different place, in a high up place?
Yeah, if it's in a place where it's not shechita, then it wouldn't die. That's what he's saying. Okay, Paul, you'd be kind enough to pass me the thing because I have to show a picture again.
Picture.
This one I was able to finally find. The perfect picture. That's right. So let's see how quickly we can find this. Is that fast enough? All right, we're going to enlarge the picture in a moment. What are we looking at here? We're looking at a trachea.
A deer.
Well, I guess so. Is that what it says? Yes. I'm sorry. We're looking at the trachea and the esophagus. The bigger hole is the trachea, but what's underneath, where you see, where on the right says, it says veshet, esophagus, and you see where the lines are moving, and I don't really care about the trachea as much as the esophagus for this picture. So we're enlarging this part right here. Okay, so now you see the left-hand red dot is focusing on the outer layer of
the esophagus.
The green dot. The green dot to the left, that's pointing to where the outer layer of the esophagus is. That's the red color. While the lower green dot in the middle is pointing to the white part, which is the inner area of the esophagus. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this is ready. After the animal's been shechted, so you've got an inner and outer area. Now we'll get to the words. On the left side, it's called Or Adom, the red flesh, and Or Lavan is the white flesh, and all this is part of the esophagus of the animal. Okay, so now this is what you got to understand. Now these are the two skins. So a veshet really has two skins. The outer skin is red, and the inner one is white. Okay, and obviously once you shecht it, as opposed to the trachea after you shecht it still looked very hollow. Right? But the esophagus, once you cut it, it starts to shrivel. So you're not able to see a good big hole like the trachea. Because the trachea's got all those rings.
Cartilage.
The cartilage.
They keep it open.
The shape of rings.
Its structure.
Perfect. Keeps the structure.
Esophagus is
while the esophagus, right, it's just very small.
Soft tissue.
Small, right?
There's no supportive tissue.
So there's no
cartilage in it. So
what?
The air comes out. You puncture it.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly the
point.
It's
like a balloon.
So you got nothing there. So that's how it looks in that picture. So keep this picture in mind, because the next couple of halachas are going to relate directly to this. Halacha Yuteh. Halacha Chav. Oops, sorry. Halacha Chav says, law number 20 tells us the following. Shnei oros yesh lo laveshet. There's two skins to the veshet. Hachitzon, the outer one, is adom, is red. Vapnimi lavan. And the inner one is white, as we showed you in the picture. See how helpful that picture was? Because now you really know what's going on over here. Now, Nikeva Echad Mehembovav. What if only one of them gets a nick? Remember we said in the Veshet, one nick will make it all treif. Now, the nick has to go through both the red and the white layer of the skin of the trachea. Okay? But what if you only got a nick on one side alone? Then it's Kshera. It's all right, because the other one protects it. In other words, the trachea still, there's no total hole from through
no,
and through.
No, the esophagus.
The esophagus, I meant. It's not a hole through and through, because one, either the inner or the outer one is intact, so it keeps it okay. But if nikvu shneim b'cholshu, if a nick, a hole penetrates through both layers, it's got a place where it normally can be shefted, then arezu nevela. Then it's a nevela, because that's all, it couldn't live. Now, let's say you shecht it afterwards. You didn't know. You don't know until after you shecht it. But let's say when you shecht it, it was in a place where the hole was. Now, how are you going to know where the hole was? You'll have to be a good expert in oil, because you can cut, let's say, two-thirds. Two-thirds, right? So it doesn't matter if it's there, or you shecht in a different place. And so the shechita will not help, because it was a goner before we started. But what if you have the following? What if nikvu shneim zeh shelo keneged zeh? What if you have in this area, let's say part of the red has a nick like over here, and part of the white has a nick over there?
They're not lined up.
It's still, what does he say? It's still an avela.
Yeah.
Why is it an avela? Because it could move. The white and the red, it's possible it could move. And when it moves, because that is the way of the esophagus, that it could move a little bit, and it could have been a time where they're in line with each other, and that would be the problem. Okay, now, and I think, all right, let's do a little more. Chaval. Nikeva veshet, what if there was a little hole in the esophagus, for all about chrome, and now a little bit of membrane, grows up to cover it up. Ustama.
A scab.
So now a scab comes and covers it up. Ein hakrum klum. The rule is that doesn't help, because it really isn't going to be considered a real official permanent type of skin or whatever you want to call it. And it won't last. Eventually the scab will come off and the hole will remain. So that won't help. Vareu nakam kishu. We consider it as if it has a hole the way it was beforehand. Now, what if nimtza kotz omei beveshet? Let's say you've got a pin, a thorn, that's stuck into the veshet. It's going across, like, and it's going through there.
Cross-sectional.
Now, the question is, we don't know how much damage it really did. Because a pin very well could make a hole through and through the lining of the esophagus. Harezu sfeik nevela, it's a doubtful nevela. Why? Because shema nikava veshet velokrum. Could be it did pierce through and through, and then a scab covered it up. But makom anekev, in the place where the hole was, we can't tell now that it's a scab. Avolim nimtza hakotz la'orka, but what do you find? This, the pin is to the length. In other words, here's the esophagus, and here's the pin, like this, as opposed to the pin going like this.
So it's vertical instead of horizontal.
It's
vertical going straight down. It's going down. So horizontal goes across.
Whatever you want to say.
Vertical,
yeah.
Straight
okay.
down.
Well, it depends in reference to the skin. Then we could say it's horizontal in reference to the skin. But anyway, it's not going in, but it's like as like the food would go through.
Yeah.
It's like sitting there. So then that's all. Okay, then we're okay. Ain choshin lo. We don't have to concern ourselves. Why? Kisharova behemas amidbars. Because most wild animals, ochlos akasa, they always eat thorns. So just because you eat a thorn, so the thorn's going through like it eats anything else. So it's not something that jabbed through the side. We assume it hasn't done anything wrong with that.
It sounds like it's not even perforating it.
No,
right, but maybe it did, and made it whole, and then it came back down.
Right.
So we don't concern ourselves for that.